You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. It's Wednesday, which means Mark Lawrence joins us on the program. Love Wednesdays. Countdown is on Championship Weekend in the National Football League. Mark Lawrence joins us, playbook.com. We'll take a look at the playbook database, crunch some numbers. Pete Annapolis will join us on the program. We'll talk some NBA basketball with Pete. All the hot topics, Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James wants help in Cleveland, yet LeBron's going to leave Cleveland anyways. So how much help should you really give him? And I don't often defend billionaires and men like the Snyder dude that owns Quicken Loans. I mean, the guy's filthy rich, but the guy loses a lot of money, man, in Cleveland. He really does. Like, he's way over the luxury cap. I heard he lost like $140 million last year. All right, he lost $140 million. You know why? Because, you go to the finals. It's Cleveland. He can't get the money back. You know, it's like he's paying max to all these dudes. He's paying Tristan Thompson $18 million a year to hang out with Khloe Kardashian right now. Right, he's paying all these guys big money, and what are you going to charge for tickets in Cleveland? It's not the San Francisco crowd, guys. I know the Warriors play in Oakland right now, but it's a rich market. All right, I mean, these guys are getting big ass money. The Cavs can't get that much money for season tickets. It's Cleveland, so they're in a tough situation. Interesting scenario going on with Cleveland though right now, and how this is going to unfold. Are they going to bring in more help? How much money more do they have? How much room do they have? And the problem is, every time LeBron James wants to get somebody, you know, listen, they won the title with Kevin Love, right? They got that done. In hindsight, though, would you ever have Wiggins or Love right now? I mean, if you look, LeBron has been the general manager of this team, essentially. He's gone through three freaking coaches, a million players, couldn't get along with Kyrie Irving. It's not like guys are lining up to play with LeBron James. We've said this in the past. All right, so we're talking basketball with Pete Annapolis. We got our plays of the day today. I'm fired up for the football, man. We got college football. And Joe Lisi. That's right, Joe. You think Joe Lisi's done? Joe Lisi's not done. Joe Lisi. Very interesting All-Star games this weekend, Gabe. We're going to break them down, man. We got the Shrine Bowl. We got the East-West. We got the NFLPA Bowl. We got all kinds of bowls this week. And you think college football's over? Then you're not a real college football fan. Come on, man. It's never over. Not over yet. There's like, we got like seven of these games. There was a couple of them last weekend, actually, the lower tier ones. But this weekend, we got some big time college all-star games as far as the NFL draft is concerned. Big time stuff. And we got big UFC card this week. Well, big UFC card. The main event and the co-main event are awesome, and the rest of the card is wow. And I don't mean wow in a good way. I've been covering this stuff a long time, guys. I'm looking at the card. I'm like, main event. Oh, my God. Stipe Miocic and Ngannou. Daniel Cormier and Ozdemir. And then it's just like, you ever been in an elevator? And it just drops. I'm like, who's this guy? Like, who's that? Main card, bro? I'm just like, main card, huh? I mean, it's to the point now where Neil Siri is a main carder. I think he retired, but you know what I'm saying. You know, Brad Pickett comes out in a hat. I think he's retired too. Oh, yeah, we got Cody Sal. He loves the no-name guys. Tell me, Gabe, I was watching this guy in a Dana White Who Wants to Be a Contender. Basically, the UFC's turned into the Dana White Looking for a Fight series. I'm not even kidding. Like, I was doing previews of this stuff, and listen, all kidding aside, I know these guys, right? But only to a certain extent, man. And I'm reading the previews, and I'm doing my research for the card, looking for a contender fight. Look, Dana White fight series. I'm like, dear God, like, really? This is what it's come to? You know why all these guys are there? Cheap labor, baby. Some guy fighting in a bar in New Jersey. He doesn't mind getting $8,000 to show up in a UFC. I don't know, but you guys are charging people for this, right? This is a pay-per-view? You know? I mean, you know, pay-per-view sales? Not going to be good. All right, so Yeah, we got Pete Annapolis and we got Mark Lawrence on the show. All right, let's quick. We're going to talk to NBA basketball a lot on the show today. We got a bunch of numbers and stuff. I want to throw this out here for you bettors that bet on the NBA every day. We've got the numbers, all right? What are we, at the halfway mark of the season here, essentially? Here's the numbers. And what's the best bet in the NBA? What would be the perception? Listen, home teams in the NBA and favorites in the NBA do very well straight up, okay? Favorites in the NBA win 65% of the time. But what does the discrepancy mean when we get into the point spread? It's crazy. They win 65% of the time straight up, but they only cover 46% of the time. If you blindly bet on underdogs this year in the NBA, you've won 53% of your bets, which is actually pretty significant. Specifically, away dogs do very well. All right, road dogs. All right, road dogs, 53.75% winning clip against the spread so far this year. Home dogs have won 51.83%. Now, consider you're getting the juice on the home dog on the money. Home dogs blindly have been a good bet in the NBA this year. Now, obviously, in a league as big as the NBA with as many teams in the NBA, you can't just blindly bet anything. But if you have blindly bet every underdog this year in the NBA, you've won 53% of the time. Away favorites have been money burners, only 48% clip. Away favorites, 48% clip. Home favorites, this is what's amazing to me. Well, if the road dogs are winning at a 53% clip against the spread, home favorites, guys, 46% only. 46%, you think you're doing a safe thing, betting on a home team in the association. You're not. You're not doing the same thing. Best bet in the NBA, away dogs. Road dogs, 53.75%. Dogs as a whole, 53%. And as far as the games are concerned, it's 51% to the under this year, as far as the total. All right? 53%. 53% to the under in non-overtime games. So that 2% got bumped up by the OT. So long story short, in a mumble jumble minute and a half of me rambling, road dogs equal money in the NBA, and so do home dogs. Dogs, baby, dogs. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, the best newsletter in the business by far. Also available on your mobile device. Just go over to the Google Store, Playbook Cube version. It's playbook.com for more information. Mark's also one of the covers experts. You find him writing over at vegasinsider.com as well. And you can watch him right here every Wednesday on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Mark, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
My pleasure, Gabe. I'm doing just terrific. I'm really, really excited about the upcoming championship games, and we had one heck of a divisional football weekend last weekend as well.
An unexpected Final Four, I would say. An unexpected Final Four as far as the preseason predictions were concerned. Not a lot of people had the Jacksonville Jaguars still playing football right now.
No, I don't think a lot of people had Case Keenum, Nick Foles, and even Blake Bortles playing in this championship round. So it is really a surprising Final Four, to say the least.
No, it is. Exactly. Case Keenum or Nick Foles will be a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. The question is, which one? Hey, Blake Bortles might be a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, except not a lot of people believe that to be the case besides Jalen Ramsey. And I think it's funny that the Jags players were so offended that the Steelers were talking about the Patriots, and now the Jags players all week keep talking about winning the Super Bowl. Like they're instead of talking about playing the New England Patriots. But the Jags have been a nice story. They've they cashed the ticket last week. They didn't cover, though, the previous week against the Buffalo Bills. And Mark, you've been around a long time, so you know this. It's amazing. It's such a fine line between winning and losing, and life is great for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. The Buffalo Bills, like, literally should have, could have beaten them. They just, bad play calling, couldn't punch it in from the 1 yard line. But it's amazing how, the whole playoff picture would be completely different if the Bills would have won that game.
unbelievable. We'd be talking about Tyrod Taylor perhaps maybe taking on Tom Brady here. They would have had to be Pittsburgh, obviously. But nonetheless, the breaks have gone Jacksonville's way. My only thought to this game is this, Gabe. My first thought is I cannot believe for the life of me why the odds makers did not set this opening line at New England minus 10 or 10.5. Knowing that, number one, New England's knocked down all these numbers. They're 10-1 to the spread their last 11 games. The betting public's going to be all over New England in the football game, yet they're inviting the betting public to come and lay the 9.5 or 10 points.
Especially inviting teaser players as well, you know, to play under the 7-point teasers with the key number at 9, gets it down to 2, which is, you know, very, very fair. And, you know, courtesy of the database, facts are just facts. They've won 19 straight games against this division. And, you know, somebody's told me, well, what does that mean? You know, it has nothing to do. I brought it up last week against the Tennessee Titans. I said, I equated basically, Mark, with the SEC playing, you know, the AAC or something. You know, it's a step up in class for these AFC South teams, and the Patriots obviously are easily knocking them down. Their only two losses were against Peyton Manning, 24-2, straight up against teams from this division. I look at Jacksonville right now. Adrenaline will keep them going for the first half, but I think reality will start to settle in, Mark. And fact is, that, you know, this is going to be their fourth road game out of their last five as well.
Good point, Gabe. You know, a well-traveled football team here who finished last, by the way, in the AFC South last year. They only won 3 games last year, did Jacksonville. So they're catching a lot of people by surprise this football season here. And I'm going to say this also. Go back and look at their last 4 road games. Jacksonville has allowed 32 points a game. That's not going to cut it in Foxborough on Sunday.
You look at the final 4 left standing right now, and, you know, the old adage is always defense wins championships. I've sort of thought that that's become a little bit cliched over the years because, you know, the modern sports world, everything is so offensive. You know, you look at basketball. Although football, I mean, you know, you look at your common pattern, Mark, the theme of the recipe that you need, the ingredients that you need for the recipe to win a Super Bowl. And generally, if you're top 10 in both offense, defense. But you look at the defenses, Jacksonville's defense, Minnesota's defense. Minnesota and Philadelphia, really elite defenses. Jacksonville are nasty, but they can be beat. But the New England Patriots, everybody that caps this game, Mark, talks about Tom Brady and Gronkowski against the Jags defense. Nobody talks about the other aspect of this. And why don't you tell us about the numbers for the Patriots over the last 11 games? They really tighten things up.
Oh, they sure have. You know, they were really horrible out of the gate, Gabe. In fact, their first 4 games of the season, they allowed 43 points a game. Since then, they're only allowing 16.5 points a game. That's number one best in the National Football League in scoring defense. And go back further, as you mentioned, stat-wise, this football team, they were allowing the first 6 games of the season, 441 yards a game. They've allowed 313 yards a game. So this football team has really kicked it in gear defensively. Nobody's giving New England credit for that right now.
No, you're exactly right. Down, so from 441 yards a game after the meltdowns and everybody was freaking out after the Houston and the Carolina games, they went to Tampa, they slowed Tampa down, and then since then have really tightened it up. Only giving up 14 points per game, guys, over the last 11 football games. I got to lay the points, and generally I'm an underdog better, but I'm looking to lay the points here.
Well, you're talking to the mirror game. I'm a big underdog better too, but I can't take the points with Jacksonville in this football game. It's real difficult to beat Tom Brady at home, especially with those AFC South numbers here. And again, you don't know what Jacksonville team you're getting. Like we said in the newsletter, their playbook comes right out of Bellevue Psychiatric. They're either going to be up or they're going to be down. You don't know what you're going to get with this Jacksonville football team. Unless they have their A game, their best A game of the season here, they could get run out of Foxborough.
You know, I just think for 60 minutes, too, Jacksonville are a good football team, but they're very, very emotional. They're very raw, and they take a lot of penalties. We saw it last week. You know, they're very college-like. They remind me of a college football team. They're sort of up and down, like you said. When things are going well, they, you know, they're very tough. But when things start to when the wheels start to fall off, they fall off for them. And I just wonder if they're going to be able to mentally compete with the Amendolas and the Hogans and the Gronkowskis and the Belichicks and everybody else. The Patriots have been here and done this before, Mark.
Well, I see a team here in Jacksonville, Gabe, that really lit up the scoreboard last week. They put up 45 on Pittsburgh, unbelievably. Before that, they'd put up 10 points in each of their previous 2 games. And what the reason I'm alluding to this is teams in the NFL playoffs, when they score 40 or more, there are almost no shows the next game. They're just 4-25-1 to the spread the next game in the playoffs since 1996. Bad roll for Jacksonville here all around, however you want to look at this.
All right, so the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles didn't get a lot of respect last week. They cover the number up to 3.5. We have a similar number right now bouncing around from 3 to 3.5. We see the Eagle players obviously know what the point spread is. They're walking around with dog masks on now, Mark. They're like guys in a dog pound down there. So if anyone ever wonders, oh, they don't know what the point spread is. Oh, yeah, yeah, they don't know what the point spread is, yeah. So here we got some smash-mouth defenses here. Very, very similar teams. You know, the Vikings on the year scored 24.2 points per game. They gave up 16.2 points per game. The Eagles scored 27.8. They gave up 17.9. Eagles giving up just 13 points per game on their home field. Suffocating defense, home field advantage. Number one seeds have been dominant over the last 7 years, Mark, as you noted in the playbook. 7-0 straight up are one seeds the last seven conference championship games. The one seed is 7-0. One number against the Philadelphia Eagles, the fact that teams that win as an underdog in the playoffs really have a hard time the following week. And we saw that with the Atlanta Falcons. We saw that with the Tennessee Titans. And I think, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars fall into that same position. But it's a little bit different because the Eagles are at home and they're 14-3 at home under Peterson.
It is, Gabe, and that stat that's really ugly for Philadelphia is when you win straight up as a home underdog. The next game, that's what those teams are. They're just 1-16 straight up and 2-15 to the spread off a home underdog win. But as I tweeted out, there's more to the story. And what's more to the story inside that number is in those 17 games, 16 of those teams went out onto the road off the home underdog win. Only one of them returned home. So maybe that stat you can throw out the window here as far as Philadelphia letdown goes. They will not let down in this football game.
There's not a lot of room for error in this football game for either football team. You know, if Case Keenum throws an interception, maybe they can get over it. If he throws two interceptions, they're going to lose the football game. If the Philadelphia Eagles are as sloppy with the football as they were last week against the Atlanta Falcons, you know, the Minnesota Vikings are going to win this football game. What do you make of the totals of these games? I tend to think that the Patriots-Jags game will see some points. Nobody stops Tom Brady. He's going to get into the high 20s, into the 30s. And then conversely in this game, I never win when I bet unders, Mark. And I took the under in the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game. Fortunately, I aborted and I bet on the in-game overs to get it back. But I really don't see there being points in this Philadelphia-Minnesota game. And weather won't be a factor, guys. So, you know, we know about the dome teams, you know, struggling when the temperature is 35 degrees or less. Last week we saw the temperatures go down in that football game. Temperatures are going to be balmy in this football game. But even with that being stated, I still think it goes under the number.
Gabe, this is the first time in National Football League history since the merger in 1970 that all four teams in the championship game own top five ranked scoring defenses. First time ever.
Wow.
Very stingy are these teams at allowing points. I'm going to lean under in the New England-Jacksonville game because of that stat and because of the stat that New England's defense is being ignored right now, largely ignored, and I also think Blake Bortles is going to play with that deer in the headlights look personally. The Philadelphia-Minnesota game, you have these two hellacious defenses here, but you got this low total here. This is almost begging you to go over the total in the football game. Put a gun to my head, I'd probably lean over here, but the bottom line is all four of these defenses are rock solid.
Yeah, and like you said, you never really know in the playoffs, right? I mean, like, you know, you think these games are going to be low scoring, and with all those defenses, they could create short fields. There are still a lot of big playmakers on the field, or it could end up being 9-6. You know what I mean? It's like, look at the Buffalo game. You know, the Buffalo-Jacksonville, we thought it would be a slugfest, low-scoring game, and these teams could barely pick up first downs. But this is a little bit different. You do have a lot of playmakers, and I tell you what, man, 38.5, you don't see numbers like this anymore.
No, you don't. Not especially in the playoffs, especially in this modern age when it's all about scoring, all about wide-open offenses here. One other sidebar note here, Gabe, before we get off this game here, is the fact that you do have in a number one seed in Philadelphia here, the team with the better record, obviously. And you, what you find in these playoffs is home dogs with an equal or better record have been spectacular. They're 19-6-1 to the spread all time. It's almost a Rodney Dangerfield type role for Philadelphia here. I think that both of these number one seeds win in advance this week into the Super Bowl.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to dip into Mark Lawrence's Coffee Club, the daily newsletter, and the NBA trends of the day. Some interesting games on the board tonight in the association. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's continue our conversation with Mark Lawrence from playbook.com. Let's talk some NBA basketball with Mark Lawrence. And, you know, Mark, it's interesting. We took a look at some of the numbers of the association this year, some of the betting trends. And, you know, the numbers will surprise you. There's a perception that home teams are the way to go in the NBA. Road dogs are actually the best bet at 53% this year. Road dogs, best bet in the NBA, guys, so far this year. But let's start off with a game tonight in which we have a road favorite. The Golden State Warriors laying 8.5 points, and this is courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database. Since 2014, when they won the championship for the first time, Golden State has become a marquee game, obviously. All right, so now it's a Golden State. The Golden State letdown is the league is just 151, 179, and 8 against the spread since then in games immediately after facing the Warriors through the midway point of the season, including 76, 103, and 5. Pretty crazy, actually. We saw the Toronto Raptors fall into that trap, actually. They lost to the Warriors on Saturday night and then followed up with a loss to the Sixers on Monday.
Well, what you'll do here, Gabe, is you'll play against the Bulls after this game, after the Golden State letdown. That will occur on Saturday when they go to Atlanta, and the Hawks are waiting right there with revenge from the loss earlier this year. So it's a nice flat spot letdown for Chicago. Mark that down on Saturday. This game here tonight's going to be an intriguing game because Chicago is playing with 49-point loss revenge. I said 49-point loss revenge. And you got Golden State coming off a big win over Cleveland with Houston on deck. This looks like a pretty good spot for the Bulls here tonight.
It does, too. And Golden State, how up are Golden State going to be for this game, right, after playing the Warriors earlier in the week?
Yeah, they play the Cavs, and they got Houston up next. And, it, you know, I know they won 13 in a row on the road. And
that's seriously, the Cavs, exactly. Yeah. The Warriors playing the Cavs.
Yeah, it's packed into the line, though, these 13 road wins they've got here. Bottom line is you got an embarrassed home dog here against a fattened road favorite here. I got to be in the Chicago Bulls here tonight.
All right, let's talk about the Toronto Raptors here this evening. Raptors taking on the Detroit Pistons. Spread feels a little high here. Raptors coming off of two straight losses. So they beat the Cavs. It was quite an interesting week for the Raptors. They didn't have Kyle Lowry. And then they beat the Cavaliers. They didn't have Kyle Lowry. They were down by like 29 to the Warriors. They stormed back. They ended up losing by 2. They covered the number as 5.5-point underdogs. And then Monday they get Kyle Lowry back. And it always happens. You get that guy back, the star that's been out for a little while, and it disrupts the flow a little bit. So I think the Raptors are a fresher team tonight after losing 2 in a row. They generally don't go on these prolonged losing streaks, but it doesn't mean I want to be laying the points. And I see the Pistons are 5-0 against the spread this season versus teams with 6-6-6 better winning percentages.
Yeah, the Pistons have really stepped up. They played their best ball on the road this year. They're almost, I think they're 13-6 to the spread overall away from home. It is Detroit here. And you've got Toronto struggled at home this year against teams out of the Central Division. But I'm also looking at a Toronto basketball team that in their last 9 games against winning teams, they're just 3-6 to the spread. They've lost 5 of those games straight up. I can see maybe Detroit giving Toronto all they want in this basketball game tonight.
You know, I was really kicking myself for being on the wrong side of that Rockets-Clippers game the other night, man. And, you know, it was an entertaining game. Of course, you know, very, very chippy and scrappy basketball game. I really didn't realize, and I should have known. I knew there was friction between Griffin and Chris Paul, but I didn't realize just how much the Clipper players dislike Chris Paul as a whole, actually. You know, Chris Paul comes across as a nice guy, but obviously there was a lot of tension there, and not just with Griffin. The entire bench was chirping, and not in a good way. Oh, we're just, you know, competing with our former teammate. It got pretty nasty, actually. Patrick Beverley, who was hurt, said after, you know, this isn't the same Clippers. We're not soft. It's pretty clear they're trying to send a message. I actually think they're better without DeAndre Jordan on the floor, to be honest with you. I look at this number tonight. You got the Nuggets that played last night. Really sets up nicely for the Clippers, doesn't it, in my opinion?
I think it does, Gabe. You look at the Clippers here. The last eight games, they've been home favorites against non-rested teams. They're 7-0-1 to the spread in those basketball games. And, you know, Denver is a basketball game. I used them as a play last night, and I'm a little bit soured on them because they just choked their way out of that basketball game. They went into the fourth quarter with a 17-point lead and got outscored and gave the money away in the contest. But nonetheless, it's travel, win and travel for the Nuggets here against the Clippers here tonight. I think the Clippers would be the right side in this contest.
You know, Mark, looking at some of the trends on the season so far, and I won't say trends, actually. These are the ATS numbers. Away teams, 327, 304, and 21 for a 51% clip. Home teams, straight up, Mark, home teams, 304 and 327, 48% only.
Wow.
Yeah, that's this is against the spread, not straight up. But the best bet on the board in the NBA this year has been road dogs, 335 and 296 and 21 for a 53% clip. 53%. And that's a pretty significant number, isn't it, Mark, in the gaming world? Like, to have that much, a 3% clip difference for 50%?
No question about that, Gabe. That's a strong number. I mean, 53 doesn't cut the mustard as far as being the spread making a living goes. But when you're doing comparisons like you're doing, a 3% gap is huge. And I also mentioned this. You talked about the road dogs here tonight. We mentioned this in the coffee club earlier this week about Oklahoma City for the first half of the season here. In their first 41 games, when they were favored 39 times. They lost 19 of those games straight up as a favorite. Now they're hosting the Lakers here tonight. Lakers got nasty 37-point revenge here. This could be a spot where Oklahoma City, the worst gag team in the NBA this year, could end up gagging again tonight.
Interesting. Yeah, away dogs, 53.75%, 221 and 191. On the season. Home dogs have been a nice bet, too, in the NBA this year. 113 and 105 against the spread, 51.83%. And we'll let you go with this, Mark. This has nothing to do with point spreads, but I came across something interesting. You never read too much and have too much information. But, you know, and, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, going back to the 70s, they were the Buffalo Bills before the Bills, right, with the four Super Bowl losses. The Minnesota Vikings, Mark, have lost more games as a favorite in the playoffs than any team in NFL history.
No, that's not a good number.
Yeah, that's. I'll send you the link, actually, to the story. I'll find it, all right, Mark? I'll send you. Yeah. I know you like that stuff, so maybe you can use it if you want or something. But, yeah, it was from – this is from, like, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It was, like, you know, one of the local guys saying, hey, Viking fans. It was. I read it on Sunday before the game, or Saturday. It's like, hey, Viking fans, we've been disappointed before. And they had a list of all the disappointments, right? And I was like, damn, that's a lot. They've lost 11 games, Mark. I believe the number was off the top of my head. I think the Vikings have played in now 33 playoff games. I think they've lost 11 of them when they were favorites.
Oh my.
It's the most by far by any team in football.
Well, that would help the Eagles improve their record. They've never lost as a home dog either. They've been four home dogs four times, won every game straight up. So the confluence of those two stats together here might bode well for Philadelphia on Sunday.
Mark, it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy the newsletter. Great information this week on these championship games. Hard to believe, man. It sounds weird. I was just going to say this because it feels like just yesterday you and I were in Costa Rica talking about the upcoming football season, but next time you and I talk, we'll be talking about a Super Bowl.
Yes, we will. We'll be talking about Super Bowl 52 coming up here, and we'll see whether or not we're right on our projections here this weekend.
Mark Lawrence with us at playbook.com. Great guy, even better newsletter. We'll take a quick break. Pete Annapolis joins us next. We talk NBA basketball. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, with just two games on the National Football League board of this weekend, we're starting to talk more NBA basketball. We talked about the NBA trends off the top of the program. What are the best bets in the NBA so far this year? I got to tell you, you know, the NBA has been pretty entertaining this week. There's been more fights in the NBA, literally and figuratively. There's been more fights and more ejections in the NBA in the last 48, 72 hours than there has been in the National Hockey League. People always say, oh, in the NBA, they never throw punches. Well, no, punches were thrown last night. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the time of the year. Guys, you know, it's the grind of the season, if it's the weather. I actually saw something the other day. This Monday, I don't know what the date was. I think it might have been the 15th. Monday the 15th was actually the most depressing day of the year, supposedly. Like, yeah, I guess it was the longest, darkest day, and it was depressing, and it was Martin Luther King Day, and it was a pretty hostile day in the NBA. There was a lot of confrontations, and it's continued throughout the week. So, well, let's bring Pete Annapolis in right now, talk some NBA basketball. Pete, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Gabe. How are you?
I've enjoyed the NBA in the last couple of nights. So Ben Simmons and Kyle Lowry got into it on Monday afternoon. It looked like Simmons sort of insinuated to Lowry that, hey, come see me in the tunnel type of deal. Nothing really came of it after, yet it looks like Philadelphia and Toronto could have the start of, I don't know if it's a rivalry. I mean, Toronto kicked the crap out of them three times they played this year, and Toronto were flat the other day, Kyle Lowry's first game back. But Philadelphia really have a way of getting under other teams' skin. I'll give them that. For a team that really hasn't accomplished anything, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a Lonzo Ball fan. I think LaVar's an idiot. We've talked about it. But I'm also not a fan of this trust the process crap. I think they're overly arrogant for a bunch of kids that have accomplished nothing.
No, I agree, Gabe, and I'm loving it, right? You know me, I'm old school. I'm sick of the hugs pregame, during the game, postgame, and when the best player in the NBA, LeBron James, right, he's the guy that loves being best friends with everybody. It's a great, great transition, completely 180 here. And you got a rookie, second year, albeit, you know, Ben Simmons. I mean, hey, talented kid, 6'10", point guard, great vision, but he can't shoot a free throw, right? So, like, they foul him. You know, Markelle Fultz, number one draft pick. I mean, how did all the scouts get this wrong, Gabe? He can't shoot at all.
Well, you and I told everybody this. Like, Fultz should have been, like, the seventh or eighth guy taken in the draft, not the first guy.
Yes, these guys actually watch the games, West Coast, late games, like you and I do. You would see that Markelle Fultz couldn't shoot the basketball.
His team won 12 games. They couldn't even make the tournament.
It's unbelievable. And then Joel Embiid. I mean, okay, I understand he's flamboyant. He brings a little bit of passion to the game, and it's great. But the guy's tweeted more tweets than he's played actual NBA games. So here you got a guy like Kyle Lowry. I mean, you know, he's a throwback. He's been around this league a long time, plays with a lot of character, has that edge. And then you got this guy Simmons challenging him to go in the back. And Kyle Lowry's like, hey, let's go. So I love all these fights, but you're right. You know, the Sixers, for all they have, and we've talked about them, they're out of the playoff picture right now. They're ninth in the East. They're not even in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, for crying out loud. But I think the Raptors are a team, hey, they know what they got to do. They're improved. They got better shooting, better ball movement. DeMar's the guy who can close the games. They're athletic. They got a better core. But, I mean, listen, losses are going to happen on the road. It happens in college basketball. It happens in the NBA. Philly got them a little bit after that. You know, they blow out Cleveland. They come back against Golden State, down 27. The Raptors are definitely a legitimate contender in the Eastern Conference, but I think Philadelphia, no question, Gabe, a lot more bark than a lot more bite.
The Rockets and the Clippers, there was a lot of barking and a little bit of biting. Now, coming into the game, there was so much talk about Chris Paul coming back. Yet, you know, the Rockets were a little flat in this basketball game, and I underestimated the friction between Chris Paul and the LA Clipper players. And I found it interesting. It was a very similar situation when you look back to the Miami days, Pete, when the big three were breaking up. And it was like, oh, Miami, everyone's going to leave, and they're all done. And it was like, no, Chris Bosh was going to leave. And when LeBron left, he stayed. And it was a very similar situation. Everybody said, oh, the Clippers, you got to break this team up. And Chris Paul was the first one out the door, and like he saw the writing on the wall. And I don't disagree with it. That Clipper team was like a bad relationship. It wasn't going anywhere. It needed to come to an end. So I don't think there should have been this malice. But pretty clear that Chris Paul is a polarizing guy. He might be a nice guy, and you know, the commercials, and he's not a jerk in real life. Like, you know, he's he's well-spoken, and he's one of the player reps and the union guys, etc. But clearly, the Clipper players don't like him. I mean, it was evident. I don't need to be in a room to see this. They were all chirping at him every time they got. And it wasn't in a good, you know what I mean, we're buddies, let's sort of compete way. No, it was nasty. But it was fun, Pete, like you said. Like, Chris Paul was in the corner, man. Everyone was chirping him on the bench, and Doc Rivers, and D'Antoni's getting into it with Griffin. It was a fun old-school game. But I really didn't realize how much the Clipper players didn't like Chris Paul.
Yeah, and you're right. And when you look at what happened in the game, and, you know, Ariza trying to get into the locker room and calling the LAPD. I mean, all these reports coming out. I mean, it's kind
well, my
of
favorite. My favorite part is that the Rockets did a distraction. That the story goes supposedly that they sent Clint Capella to the front door. Clint Capella went to the locker room and started banging on the Clippers' door. And they opened it, and they saw it was Clint Capella, and they told him, F off, and slammed the door in his face. But while Capella was there, Paul and the guys were sneaking in the back because Chris Paul was there forever, so he knew the way to get in, not through the front. They get in. Harden was supposedly really pissed. Harden was trying to get out Austin Rivers. What I don't understand, though, is, Pete, if you're the Rockets, I'm not going in with Harden, Chris Paul, and Trevor Ariza. Clint Capella's, you know, you got to bring Capella in here, too. Capella's at the front door, and then the LAPD was in the room, and they had to tell everyone to chill out. But I don't mind it. I think it's good. It brings a rivalry to the game.
Yeah, no, it does bring a rivalry. And I would rather bring in P.J. Tucker or Nene.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ahead of those other guys and protect your investment. But, you know, it's funny, you're mentioning all this, and I'm thinking in my head right now, I'm thinking of Kurt Rambis clotheslining Kevin McHale at the old forum and everything that happened there. So I think it's good. It's good for the NBA, a little bit of bad blood. It creates a rivalry, creates, like, more ratings.
You know what it does, Pete? It shows, though, too, that, and even I've said it at times, the knock on the NBA at times, the perception is, at least, that they don't care. Right? That, you know,
right.
It's like, oh, these guys don't care, man. They're losing by 18. And I think the difference is, I think NBA players do care. I mean, these guys are alpha males. They're very competitive people. They don't want to get punked. They all care, but the season's long, man. You know, I got Sam Mitchell to admit it. I said to Sam Mitchell, why do you guys quit so much when you're down? And he got all pissed off at me. And he goes, we don't quit. It was off the air. He goes, we don't quit. I said, dude, I bet on the NBA every night. I said, don't tell me. I said, Royale Ivy, you know Royale. I said, Royale Ivy, guy told me, he goes, the code in the NBA is 18 points. He goes, if it's 18 points with 8 minutes, you tap out. And finally, he got all pissed off. He goes, the season's long, man. You can't put the pedal in. I was like, all right, so you quit. He really didn't like it. But I think it shows the NBA, hey, our guys do care. You know what I mean? They're fighting. You know what I mean? It's not like you can say they don't care. That's what I actually liked it. I was like, man, can't say these guys are mailing it in. They're punching each other in the face.
No question. And you look at last night, Aaron Aflalo. I mean, like,
yeah,
without swinging, right, on a little bump. But you're right. You know, January 15, longest day of the year, dark day. But, you know, when you mentioned about Chris Paul, you know, I've spoken to a couple of the agents surrounding the Clippers organization, and there was really this dysfunctionality between Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They never coexisted. They never really liked each other. They never really had a relationship off the court. And that's kind of weird. When you're playing 82 games, you're together for 7 months, on the road, hotels, planes, and you're not hanging out at all. I mean, you know that there's something wrong there. And I think, was the franchise Chris's? Was it Blake's? Blake was upset because, hey, he was there before Chris. I mean, doing all his great work. And then Paul's like, okay, he's the greatest point guard of all time.
And they sort of took over and hogged the ball, too. Slowed it down all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
So let me ask you now. DeAndre Jordan wasn't in the lineup. And we've seen this in the past. He wants to get traded. They're not going to re-sign him. It's inevitable. We're hearing the Cavs rumors right now. As a Raptor fan, I say, good, bring him there. What's he going to do? Like, I think DeAndre Jordan's overrated. I get it. He's a defensive presence. But in today's NBA, look, the Clippers' offense flows more. So I ask you, are they better without DeAndre Jordan on the floor when they're playing an up-tempo pace, the Clippers?
I think they are. I think they are most definitely. And I think, if you know, the rumors maybe to the Cavs, I'm like, well, how is he going to help Cleveland? I mean, he can't shoot free throws. He can't score. I mean, he's a good shot blocker. Well, they got Tristan Thompson, and you see what Tristan Thompson's value is right now. So, I mean, they could swap those guys, and it wouldn't really make any difference. Probably Tristan Thompson wouldn't even start with the Clippers.
Tristan Thompson's stock is dropping on a daily basis.
Oh, heavily, heavily. And
him going to L.A., I know it makes sense because that's the thing. They're like, all right, we get Jordan. We'll send Tristan to L.A. Yeah, and you know Tristan wants this because he'll be with Khloe and the Kardashians. He can live at the mansion and stuff.
Right.
It's a freaking train wreck. I respect the hell out of Tristan for playing for Team Canada after winning a title. So I can't call the guy a prima donna and all this, but from a basketball standpoint, it kind of hurts me to see where his career is going to go, bro, because you know what's going on here. It's not going to end well. It's not end. It's already going down. Already.
It's going down very quickly. And if you really remember, I mean, who's the guy who advocated, who coerced the Cavaliers management to sign him to $85 million contract? Was LeBron. Remember those negotiations? Like, Cleveland didn't want no part of Tristan Thompson at $85 million for 4 years.
You're right. They told him. They were like, are you nuts? And you know what's funny now? Funny you bring this because I was going to ask you about this. Now, they're doing the same thing. They're going to Snyder. We need this. We need that. And listen, I'm not defending the guy that owns Quicken Loans, okay? I mean, the guy owns Quicken Loans. Not the arena. He owns Quicken Loans, all right? He's a billionaire. But, Pete, he loses hundreds of millions of dollars a year on this team already. You can't get the money back in Cleveland. You can't charge him. This isn't Golden State. You can't charge $28 for a beer and sushi, all right? It's Cleveland. He's losing money. He lost like $150 million when they won the championship.
Right.
LeBron's going to leave at the end of the year. And now what? He's going to start ordering Snyder to start throwing more money around and get on the hook for contracts down the road? It's insanity. It's like this is the selfishness of LeBron, though. Remember, LeBron's upset at Kyrie for the lack of loyalty for leaving. And then what? Well, Kyrie had years left there. He was supposed to stay and let LeBron leave and then get stuck in C-Town after this like Isaiah's going to do? I mean, LeBron plays everybody, dude. It's crazy.
No, well, listen, Gabe, we've been talking about this forever on your show, and I told people, right? He coerced.
Pete. If I'm Snyder, I would just tell LeBron, listen, I thank you for coming back. It's been a great run. You know you're leaving. I know you're leaving. You deal with the team we have now, bro. Pretty simple.
Yeah,
you know
I'm not.
You're the one to put the team together.
Yeah, and remember J.R. Smith. Here's another guy, right? $50 million per year. You know, he forced them to sign him. You know, they didn't want to sign J.R. Smith to $15 million per season. Look at him playing now. The guy's tapped out. He's done.
He doesn't care.
You got Shumpert there, Fry. I mean, this team is old. It's slow. It can't play any defense, right? You got Isaiah Thomas coming in. I mean, he's only focused about, hey, getting back at Danny Ainge. He's all pissed off. He's not getting any tributes over there and video montages, right, instead of coming
out. Yeah, and he's a free agent too, bro. He doesn't have to stay there after next year.
He won't stay. And at the end of the day, what did I tell everybody? I told everybody this. LeBron left. He went to Miami. Okay. People defended that. Well, he wanted to win, okay. And I told people he's going to leave again. He's going to leave the Heat. He couldn't. He predicted 7 championships. He only won 2 out of 4. The guy was cramping up in San Antonio. Are you kidding me? He leaves. He goes back to Cleveland. Oh, I'm going back home. I told people the same day he's going to leave again. No, Pete, you're crazy. He's staying in Cleveland. Well, what are the rumors now? He's going to leave. You're right. Dan Gilbert, the owner, should not really succumb to any more demands of LeBron James. He's paying high luxury tax. Year after year, they got the highest payroll in NBA history, and the team has no chance.
And it's not even about the money, Pete. It's about the fact that all the players LeBron want always suck, or they're old, or they're overpaid. Like, so it's like, listen, LeBron, you're a bad GM, and you're running the team here. And this goes back to him, and I bring all you need to know, and I'm sure Snyder and these guys are aware of this, Shabazz Napier. And I'm glad for Napier. Napier's having a nice career right now. It's coming together for him. He got playing time with Lillard out in Portland, etc. But LeBron told Riley, man, you got to draft this guy. We got to draft this guy. What are you going to do? You got to listen to LeBron. You draft the guy, and 5 days later, LeBron goes on TV and leaves.
That's crazy.
And then Riley's like, I didn't want to draft this kid. Nothing against Napier. I wasn't going to draft this guy. It's the same crap now. So what, LeBron's going to start telling Snyder, yeah, bring DeAndre Jordan in. And then what? And then I'm going to get stuck with DeAndre Jordan's contract? Are you crazy?
So, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Clippers are playing better basketball. And just to rewind a little bit on Chris Paul, right? Arguably one of the best point guards of this generation. He's never been out of the second round of the playoffs in his career, ever.
And then faded in a big game the other night against the Clippers. Got outplayed by backups on the Clippers. Let's be real. He as the game got later, he disappeared, bro.
He does, and you know what? They had this series, right? They played against the Rockets a couple of years back. They're up 19 points at home, game six, to close out the series. Chris Paul with the ball in his hand on every single possession, and they couldn't win. They lose to a depleted Rockets team that went on to the conference finals, lost to Golden State, and Doc Rivers said it. He said, hey, you know what? We had all the talent in the world, but we never got it done. We never got it done here, and it really hurts him. But at the end of the day, it was Chris Paul, the ball in his hands. Griffin was a little bit hurt. It's too bad because you know what? The Clippers had the talent to win a championship, but now it's time to move out DeAndre Jordan, build around Blake. I mean, Milos Teodosius is playing well. They're doing it without Beverly. If Gallinari can come back, I mean, they could get some pieces there. And listen, big-time game tonight against Denver, a playoff type of game.
That's I was going to ask you. We got to get out of here in a minute, but tonight they got to follow up that win with the Rockets. This is a Clipper thing that they do. Generally, the Clippers, the MO with the Clippers with Chris Paul in the past with the Jordan, Paul, and Blake was Lob City, we beat Sacramento by 57. We wilt and we choke in a big game. So now they stepped up with a big game. And Patrick Beverley, who's not playing, though, was on the bench. You said after. He goes, we ain't soft. This isn't a soft Clipper team, man. Trust me. He goes, we're trying, you know, they're changing things. Austin Rivers should shut the hell up. But that's another story. But they need to win this game tonight to follow this up, get that sixth win in a row. And Denver played last night, dude, in Denver. It's a perfect spot for the Clippers tonight. I think they get it done.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game just because it's so difficult playing in Denver. And the Nuggets are an improved team. I mean, wow, look at those.
Well, games in L.A. Games in L.A. Denver were in Denver last night. Denver at L.A.
Correct. You got Harris. You got Murray in the backcourt. You got Trey Lyles playing better. Jokic is amazing. They're going to the Clippers. Lou Williams. I mean, pound for pound, is there a more valuable player in the NBA than Lou Williams? He's the one who kept everything afloat with all the injuries. I mean, dude scoring 40 points a game with one eye. I mean, he's your throwback playground guy that could just score at 6'4", and we know how he could score off the court as well with the ladies. Lou Williams, Clippers, they got to get it done tonight.
Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS Television, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. Thanks for the time, Pete. There's a Pete Yiannopoulos with us. Enjoy talking basketball with Pete. We'll come back with our plays of the day. What's up, everybody? I am Gabriel Morenz. Let's get to my best bets and then start off in the National Basketball Association. Give me the Charlotte Hornets, man. Their head coach is back right now. They're coming off a big win the other night. They beat the Pistons on Martin Luther King Day game. I don't think much of the Washington Wizards. I think the Hornets can win this game. Minus 130 on the money line. Pelicans. I know the Pels played last night against Boston. Big win. But the Atlanta Hawks are freaking terrible, all right? Give me the Pelicans. Pelicans are going to wear down the Hawks. Hawks don't have an answer for the Twin Towers. Give me the San Antonio Spurs -5 on the road. Spurs always screw me, but the Nets are really struggling. We'll lay to 5 here. Clippers, big win the other night, man, against the Rockets. Can they follow it up with another win tonight? I think they can. Clippers take advantage. They're 7-0 against the spread the last 7 times they played a team to play the night before. College basketball, Villanova scoring a ton of points. Villanova, Georgetown, over 157. Arkansas and Florida, over 154. NHL hockey, give me the Montreal Canadiens, +165 against the Boston Bruins. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.